2 Corinthians chapter 2. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest, because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 in the English Standard Version. Well, Paul continues in the second chapter to weave together the deeply personal and the theological, the gospel theological. And here he does so with making reference to the pain that he has experienced over the sinful disobedience that was in the church at Corinth. Reading 1 Corinthians, we come across a number of different problems within the church at Corinth. There were divisions as people followed, you know, popular preachers. There were sexual problems in the church as a man married his stepmother and as apparently other believers were maybe going to prostitutes. There were legal, financial problems as believers were taking other believers to court and apparently with the goal of defrauding them out of money. I mean, it's a mess, right? And so Paul writes 1 Corinthians, and it's a very passionate letter that is very corrective. And Paul says it was painful. And part of the reason why he had to write that painful letter to them is because he didn't want to have to make a painful visit to them. He didn't want to have to come and sort of clean house. Well, thankfully, it looks like the Corinthians have heeded his word, and one particular man who has been put under church discipline, whether this is the man who married his stepmother or whether it was the man who was dragging someone else to court, we don't know, but one particular man who has been brought under church discipline has shown repentance, and Paul is urging them to turn and forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed with excessive sorrow. This really shows us the heart of the Apostle Paul and the right heart to take when dealing with matters of sin and discipline within the church. First of all, matters of sin should grieve us when they are thriving within the church. They should cause us to weep and cause us pain. And then our goal in discipline should be to restore the one who has been caught in such sin and the one who has caused such offense, to restore them, to lead them to repentance by the grace of God. Paul's heart here is not at all about a power trip or manipulation or control or anything like that, which unfortunately we see far too often in church history. His heart is for the Lord, for the honor of Christ in the church, for the joy of his fellow Christians and then for the restoration of this fallen sinner. And then in the last part of chapter 2, he talks about how he wanted to go into Troas to preach the gospel, and he had an open door, but because he didn't find Titus there, he was not at ease. His spirit was not at rest. And so he left and went to Macedonia to look for Titus. He wanted to make sure that Titus was okay, and he wanted to have Titus with him in ministry. And then he turns from this personal issue of him and Titus wanting to be together to this grand theological statement. So if you look at 12, 13, 14, that's exactly what I'm talking about when I say the deeply personal, his desire to have Titus with him in ministry is tied in with the richly theological, and that is this profound truth that as we preach Christ in sincerity, now it's important to understand the qualifications here. As we preach Christ in sincerity, not as peddlers of God's word, but as those who are commissioned by God and who in the sight of God speak in Christ, then we become before God in the world an aroma, incense to the world. To those who are rejecting Christ, because we represent Christ, we are an aroma from death to death. But for those who are trusting in Christ, because we represent Christ, we are an aroma from life to life. And so Paul says we should always expect that if we are sincerely representing Christ and speaking forth Christ into the world, we're going to be met with these two different reactions, joy and believing and life on behalf of those who are receiving life in Christ, but anger and hostility and resentment from those who are rejecting Christ and are heading for death. But we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. This is 2 Corinthians 2:15 is one of the most profound verses, I think, in the Bible, if you really take it seriously. We, as we speak Christ and show Christ in the world, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. This gives the deepest theological significance to all Christian ministry in the world. Ambassadors for Christ, and even more than that, the aroma of Christ to God among the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is your truth. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for the clarity of it. We thank you for the deep truth that it shows us about who we are in Christ. Father, help us to be faithful, sincere, upright, honest, faithful to your word, faithful to Christ and to his gospel, that we might be an aroma that is authentic, that we might not stink of self-righteousness or stink of self-interest, but that we might truly be the aroma of Christ. We pray this, Father, in his name and for his sake. Amen.